Hi, guys and ghouls, gals and ghouls, my funny fools, how y'all doing? It's your old pal Ian here, coming to you live from my apartment, and I want to say hi, hello, and there's an issue with the episode last week. It didn't upload right, and I got some messages about a couple days later, and so I'm re-releasing the episode from last week, my interview with my talk with my buddy Dan St. Germain, who has a new album out, No Real Winners Here. We went on the road together to Boston. It was a real fun time. Stopped off at a diner, Cromwell Diners. Woo-wee! Shout out to Cromwell Diners if you're listening. Our waitress, Felicia, I think her name was Felicia. She was a sweetheart, but I had amazing biscuits and gravy. Oh my goodness, they were so good. And me and Dan, I swear to God, I use an H5 Zoom, and I've had problems with it in the past. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's just the actual thing. I don't know. But halfway into our talk, we were having a blast, and the thing had frozen, and I had to restart the interview. I've interviewed people before, and I've lost the interview because I ran out of memory, and thankfully someone sent me a new SD card, so I'm not running out of memory. Now the thing's just freezing, but I'm learning as I go along, and I appreciate you all for your patience. But it was fun being up in Boston during Comic-Con. We didn't do the show for Comic-Con. It was at Laugh Boston, but everyone at Comic-Con was staying in the hotel, so it was fun seeing a bunch of fat Spider-Men walking around. And I saw a Spider-Man getting an argument with his girlfriend, and she was walking away, and he's like, come here, come here. And I was like, just use your web, man. I didn't say that out loud to him. I stayed away because he was muscular. But yeah, it was a good time. And I've been doing all right. Just running around, getting a couple things done. I'm going to be on Bennington tomorrow. UUP is off for 2 weeks, so won't be back till September. But that's all right. Staying busy with some other projects. Going to have a couple things coming out that I'm excited about. And we've been getting up a lot. Got a lot of dates coming up. IanFinance.com. Check that out. If you're in the city, come and see me. Come and say hi. Someone said hi to me on the street from the podcast. Hello to Melissa and her friend, Greek Tony, or hold on. He was quite a Greek to Miss Prime. That's his name on Instagram. Yeah, that was really something. And, also if you're listening, I'm sending out postcards for the Patreons, patreon.com/IanFidance to become a patron. And I can send you some postcards. And I got some cool designs, some Nirvana, some Fiona Apple, some Edward Scissorhands that I'll be sending out that I pick up along my travels. And yeah, I'm just grateful for everyone listening. And here is my talk. Usually I give like an intro, but I don't think it picked it up on the microphone, but in the beginning of the talk, Dan goes, you want to give me an intro? And I was like, yeah, I'll handle it in post, pal. But I don't think it got picked up. I recorded like 50 seconds of it, and then we had so much fun, and then all of a sudden, I just realized it wasn't recording, and I was so bummed out. But we salvaged it and ended up having a good old talk. So without further ado, if you don't know him, you should. He's got an album out, No Real Winners Here. It's very funny. I bought it. You should buy it too. Available on iTunes. Check it out. It's number 3 in the Comedy Billboard charts, and or number 8. It was number 3. Now it's number 8. But that's pretty good for a week or two after release. And I hope you guys like the talk, and I will talk to you next time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's my talk with Dan St. Germain. Comedy. Yeah, usually I just start talking and then we like end up into a subject.
Yeah.
We're just talking about some untalkable.
The Untalkables. That sounds like a Netflix documentary.
That's what the next wave of comedy is.
That's the next
be.
Human trafficking documentary on Netflix is The Untalkables.
The Untalkables. And it's just got guys like us on there. Like,
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, man.
Do you want to give me an introduction? An esteemed introduction?
Usually I do the introductions. Before the, without the person.
Oh, okay,
here.
That's fine. But I just want I did Tom Lewis is my producer and my dumb friends is.
Okay, sorry about that. The yes, it
did any of our podcasts just record?
Yeah, 50
Where
seconds.
Did we stop? Oh my god, are you serious?
Yeah. The fucking the
this is like the most Ian fucking experience. Is it recording now?
It's recording now, yeah.
How did you fuck this up?
Yeah, I don't know. The H5 Zoom fucked it up. I hit record.
I talked about how great Ian was at our Laugh Boston show.
Uh-huh.
Fuck that. Ian, you were terrible. I'm going to bury you now that
I was fantastic.
Now that we lost all that, I'm going to bury you on this podcast.
Yeah, tell everyone how funny I was and how I got stranded at the bus station and you chose jerking off rather than
Let me tell you something. I made a good decision. After hearing that you were a racist podcast. And I was going to let you sleep in my room. It was just a difficult decision.
What decision? How... What were the semantics of me sleeping in your room?
First off, I was like, Ian slept in worse places than a bus stop.
Yeah.
Second, I'm really tired. Third, I already gave him some sleep tonight.
Yeah, you did let me take a little nap, and you took a picture and then fourth, posted I realized, it on the internet.
Yeah, and I posted on the internet. Well, you put a bandana over your eyes like you're about to get put in front of a firing squad.
I had to do that because you wanted
is
the,
this actually
the
recording
window
now?
Open. Yeah.
Okay,
recording.
Just making sure.
You wanted the window open, and I had to do it as like a homemade sleep mask.
Well, I had to meditate.
Yes.
Obviously, it's... And, you know, because I meditated, I realized that I had to bring you back to my room that night. Old Dan would have let you sleep in the bus station. I just offered you suggestions. I said, look at the megabus first.
But
and you made money on it. I gave you $50 extra for the fucking Greyhound. And you made 20 extra bucks on it to wait like an hour.
In your head, it said, why don't you look at the megabus?
Yeah.
But in the text message, it was, hey, man, I think I might get stranded here. I'm going to keep you posted. You go, is megabus an option?
You don't understand, man. I just wanted a nice sleep. I had a fucking 3-hour drive in a rainstorm the next day.
Oh, shit. Oh,
what are you
going to
do?
Funny.
Come on.
When did Sarah
end up getting
there?
I wouldn't invite you stranded. What?
When did Sarah end up getting there?
Well, she got there. Well, we got real. We got in like. It was the first time I've said to her, pick up the phone in a text, because she sent me the wrong address and she sent me to a graveyard so instead of where she was supposed to pick me up. So I was like, this is the creepiest drop-off address. And then she was on the text being like, oh, where is he? And I was literally staring at fucking headstones. And she had, and like I said before, she had lactate for me. I said, bring the lactate.
Yeah, now why did she need to bring the lactate?
Because I ate a Domino's pizza the night before in 8.5 minutes.
And you timed yourself intentionally, or you did it like, oh, wow, that was 8 minutes?
I said, oh, wow, this is 8 minutes. I just ate an entire burrito, and I'm stretched across the couch.
He's
right
draped across his couch. Oh, yeah. I'm sitting at his feet, and it's a real decadent situation that's going on here.
Wearing sweatpants. I'm giving the bare minimum of effort.
Yeah. He's about to take a nap.
I'm about to take a nap.
I'm just going to interview your sleeping body.
I would probably say some creepy shit in my sleep.
Do you talk in your sleep?
Not really. I used to, when I was a kid, I was on this one medication where, I think I told you this, I talked about it on a podcast last night, but I once, like, kicked down the door to my parents' room, and I went, get out of the road! No. Yeah, and then they put me back to sleep. So that was terrifying. But mostly I just wake up, I wake up like Rambo. Like even today, like my girlfriend had to go to Long Island, mm-hmm. and she's like, "Okay, honey, I gotta." And I go, ah, 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 ah. She goes, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I'm like, "It's okay, I love you, I love you." And she's like, "What were you dreaming about?" I remember one time she woke me up from a dream, and I was like, I was Harambe, and I like threw the kid. I swear. I have bad dreams. I think it's because this vape, because I'm so addicted to nicotine now.
You think it's a vape?
I do, actually, because I wake up in the middle of the night from a bad dream, and then I vape, and then I go back to bed.
Dude, when I was on Abilify, it made me sleepwalk, and I would wake up in my kitchen eating peanut butter.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Except for it wasn't your kitchen.
It wasn't my kitchen, and it was not peanut butter.
It was a guy named Peanut Butter you met on Craigslist.
Yeah. It's so weird. This medicine made me sleepwalk to guy's house and blow him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like that's the side effect of Ambien. That's actually not as bad of a thing to wake up to, I feel like.
What, blowing a guy?
Yeah, if you're on Ambien, you're like, well, at least remember that one story where the guy murdered his wife?
Oh, and Roseanne went on like a racist Twitter tirade.
I forget if it was that, but he was like, oh, I murdered my wife on a sleeping. Oh, yeah, yeah. And Roseanne went, Ambien gets blamed for a lot of shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the least of those three things is waking up and pleasing someone else.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
No, that's a good thing. More people need to
it's
be
like
on Ambien.
It's like doing Nesta butterfly with just a huge dick.
Could you imagine if you went to sleep at night and then you woke up and you were the aggressor in blowing someone else?
Just like, oh.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just being a truck driver. Just truck stop driver.
Being a truck driver.
I just wake up and he's like, keep going. And I'm like, oh, well, all right.
You know what movie I watched the other night? Speaking of truck driver, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Great movie. Well, that's good.
I loved it. I hadn't seen it in years. What's your favorite of the Die Hards?
Oh, one. Die Hard 1.
One?
Of course. Die Hard is I watch it every year.
Did you see the Bruce Willis roast?
No, I saw clips of it. I saw the Ed Norton thing I thought was funny, and a lot of really funny people wrote on it. I wrote on the Rob Lowe one, and the big highlight of that was Ann Coulter eating shit because she wouldn't use any of the writer's stuff.
Really?
Yeah, she kind of brought her own writers, and then, like, yeah, she just, like, she totally, and it was, like, a great opportunity for her, you know, because she could have, like, kind of, like, looked like, all
right,
I'm in on the joke, but she totally fucking fucked it up.
Oh, what a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine having no tie to comedy and being like, don't worry, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, like the fucking balls.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, that's how you become Ann Coulter, is that you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to say
the
lessons.
Oh, yeah, you think like, oh, I got this the whole time.
Without any sort of thought behind it. And and it works with really dumb people, because dumb people like flashy shit.
Yeah. Well, I think that's how Trump got
the he just knew how to, you know, he got his base more riled up than Hillary did. Hillary, you know.
Dude, he, on Twitter today, he called Omarosa a dog.
I saw that.
He's starting to talk like an Iraqi president. Like, you dog! You dog! That's like the biggest insult over there.
There is, you know, and it's always like, you know whenever you read like when somebody's like accused of being like a racist through tweets or something,
right.
You read four of them, and a lot of the times you're like, but these two aren't bad, and this one is questionable, and that one's just bad. Trump, it's like, these three are bad, and this one is questionable.
Right. Don't you have that joke about Trump? About
like what he doesn't say. I think that we weren't, and I was talking to Tim Dillon about this. It's like, everybody's like, we need this exciting revolutionaries. No, you need somebody boring. You need a boring person as president.
Yeah, Jeb Bush would have been great.
In comparison?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have just been like, you know, pleated khakis, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he would have, you know, gutted social programs like every other fucking Republican, but probably gotten us into another war. But, you know, at least we wouldn't be like panicking about him starting a nuclear war through DMs. And
I mean,
this has been so bad. I saw the Black Klansman this weekend.
Oh, how
it's
was
really
it?
Good.
Yeah.
And I was like kind of hesitant to see it, but it was really good. I don't know. I just, you know what I think it was, honestly, is that like that Dave Chappelle sketch was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
That like for some reason in my head, I'm like, oh, this is like a real story. Like, I don't know. I like the sketch. You know, it was so weird. It was like, it's like finding out like, you know, like, the Night at the Roxbury guys were like, no, there's a really great story behind this.
Behind the Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah, so let me go watch it. But yeah, no, it was really good. My family all saw it. And
you saw it with them?
Saw it with my family and my girl.
Up in Pittsfield?
Yeah.
What was that intro Tom gave you again?
Oh, yeah. I talked about this before Ian fucked everything up. Yeah, Tom Lewis, who was my producer on My Dumb Friends, is a great guy, sweetheart, one of my good friends. I was like, hey, can you say Comedy Central Half Hour Special and White House Correspondent? Like, just intro me with that and that I have a new album out. I am one of these people who thinks that, like, if you're seeing a new crowd, you should give credits so they know that someone was smart enough, like someone at least was dumb enough to go put them on their TV show so you don't feel as dumb sitting there. And Tom,
so you don't feel like you're getting
up,
duped, like you're getting a legit person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and Tom brings me up with, I used to produce Dan's podcast called My Dumb Friends. Any My Dumb Friends fans? And it was a woman who was the nurse of someone in a wheelchair clapped.
No.
I swear. And then he goes, Dan St. Germain, everybody. He's got a new album out. I think he said he's got a new album out, too. So he did follow that.
Did you rip on him?
Yeah, I did a little bit. I mean, like, you know, like the whole lineup was more, but it was a really fun show, you know, and the venue was at the Pittsfield batting cages or. But the guy who runs it, I think his name is Greg. I totally forget now, but he was a sweetheart, and his wife is nice. And, you know, and, like, for a last-minute show, they put a lot of butts in the seats. So,
oh, nice.
You know, and so did Tom. So shout-out to him, despite the horrendous intro.
Oh, yeah, I was going to tell that story earlier about that show in the South Bronx. Because I tried to rip on that guy, and they loved him so much
that they weren't having
got
it.
Booze.
Yeah, how did they introduce you again?
It was at a hookah lounge in the South Bronx, and I was the only white person there. Totally fine, which usually works in my favor, you know? People
right,
are like,
right.
Oh,
it's
what's he gonna say?
It's the cracker.
Yeah. This time, it was like animosity towards me because I broke up the fun because the host went up. He was supposed to do 10 minutes. He did 25. Half of it was in Spanish. He got the crowd so riled up that he and the security guard got into a dance competition where they were both doing the worm, and then they had people getting up and dancing with them. So it was like a complete party atmosphere. And immediately when the dancing stopped, he goes, okay, I got to get this show started. Boo started. No, boo, stay. Don't worry. I'll be back after this next guy. Don't worry. There's more for me. Boo. No. I'll be back. Yay. All right. Sorry, buddy. Give it up for this next guy. What? I go, Ian Finance. And he goes, give it up for Mr. Ian, everybody. And then I went up to just like anger. And then I was like, oh, thanks for the glowing introduction. And somebody was like, you like Trump. I was like, oh, no. And this wasn't even like 10 years ago, you know, early in my career. This is like fucking
like
a year
ago.
And a half ago. Yeah,
yeah I remember I did Smokey's Room in Harlem. It was a nice dude, but I did a joke about Michelle Obama, and it wasn't even like, it was just about my story about meeting her. It wasn't at all offensive towards Michelle Obama, but I mentioned the word Michelle Obama, and a black woman in the front row just goes, no. Like, she was just not going to have it.
No.
She's like,
what'd
no.
you do? What'd you do?
What? I did my bit. But then they were confused because it was like a bit... But at this point, they weren't on board, and then they realized, oh, shit, the bit wasn't about her being shitty, but we also don't like the bit.
Right,
so there
was,
like, three levels of them not liking
it. Right.
You know, like, because they're like, oh, we still don't think this is funny. Like, they were like, this is going to be offensive. Now we're confused because it wasn't offensive. Oh, but that was the punchline. We hate it. That was their emotional range during that.
Dude, I used to do fish fries in Wilmington, Delaware. And I used to get booked specifically because I was white and they needed like a white comic.
Yeah.
So I got like diversity spots when I was starting out. And I was like not good enough to be in those positions, you know. And I did a fish fry and all the comics that went up before me like were like dancing, like having fun. And before the show started, a guy was like, man, you a comic? Oh, I'm so excited to see you. No. That's so cool. I can't wait to see you do your thing, you know? So I get up there, and they're not liking it. And I go, well, I'm not going to get up here and just dance. And
some woman goes,
I wish you would. And then that got a huge pop. I was supposed to do 5 minutes. I only did 3.
Did you dance then?
Oh, dude. Yes, I danced.
Of course you danced.
It was so bad. I like danced.
Did they like the dance?
No, they hated it. It was so bad. I like made fun of myself. They didn't like that either.
What kind of dancing?
I like did the robot. Like it was just so pathetic and bad. And then I get off, and that same guy that was like, man, I'm so excited to see you. He put his hand on my back. He goes, hey, man, you got up there.
He like the bare minimum of a compliment.
He couldn't even say good job. He said, hey,
this
you
whole
got
episode
up there.
Should be called the bare minimum.
That's what it's going to be called, the bare minimum. Yeah, right? Oh, God, it was so bad. And I had like, I was living in a halfway house.
We talked about that Megabus story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I have no memory.
I was living in a halfway house at the time. And, like, you know,
that's
in sobriety,
a big surprise.
Like, you know how, like, when you're in, like, a program recovery, everyone's like, yeah, you're doing it. You're doing it. Well, like, some sober people came out and were like, wow, Ian's a comedian. This is great.
No.
And then just afterwards, they were like, man, you really, do you do this a lot? It was like even the sober people that like had a month sober working at Home Depot.
I don't understand
because like,
when I went to rehab, they were like they found out I was a comedian, and they were like, "Hey, you need to, you should do some comedy while you're here."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I had just done John Oliver the week before, and I'm like, "Oh no, I'm not. I'm sorry, I'm not doing comedy.
Right.
I'm not doing comedy right now.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to do stand up right now." Like, this sad fucking, like, I'm literally petting a horse. Like, I can't do comedy.
Where did you go to rehab? How many times have you been to rehab?
Seabrook. I went to outpatient once and then inpatient in Seabrook. And
uh-huh.
Sucks. A buddy of mine that I knew there who was close to that just passed away, so that was tough. But remind me, before the Pittsfield show, I haven't talked about this on a podcast yet. I did, a little bit I talked about it on stage, but, like, right before the Pittsfield show, before we go get dinner, like we went to this Mexican restaurant with Tom and my dad, my sister, and my girlfriend, and they're like, "Oh, we saw a psychic," and I was like, "Oh, great!" And they said one thing about you, and then my dad's like, "Don't tell him, don't tell him."
What?
And then my sister's like, "You've apparently got a kid out there."
Shut up!
And then they're like, "Oh, we're gonna be late for dinner."
No.
So, like, I'm literally, they're like, when did you see the psychic? 5 years ago. So I'm, like, literally going through every person I slept with in that period of time. And they're like, well, it could have been an abortion. And I'm like, well, does that, or a miscarriage. I'm like, well, does that mean that the psychic's pro-life? Like, I had so many fucking questions.
So, there's a 5-year-old you running around? Do they believe the psychic? Was she good with anything else? Or was she just, like, totally off on everything.
Oh, my dad was like, oh, she was spot on with everything else. My sister said, well, she wasn't spot on with me. And so I was like, all right. But my dad is like, you know, my dad's getting older and crazier. Like, I post on Instagram. Like, my sister and my girlfriend hit it off, and they, like the same reality shows.
Is that the first time they met?
No, they met once before, but this time they, like, really bonded.
Right.
And, like, literally, they talked the whole time about reality shows. So they went to go leave a little bit earlier because I guess there was, like, a reality show, like, restaurant they wanted to see that was like in there, and it was just like me and my dad. We had an hour. My dad's a writer. He's a good writer. He's won like Outer Critics Circles awards. Mm-hmm. He's written on TV, movies, all this shit. And he goes, hey, you know, Sheffield has the first alien abduction site in the United States. And I was like, okay, well, that would be pretty kind of cool to see. Mm-hmm. And then he takes me to this bridge, and it's just a plaque that says like, welcome to Massachusetts. And he, like, looks around, and he's like, oh, I guess they moved where the saucer was. And I'm, like, looking at this guy wearing a Thomas Edison shirt, like, you know, going through a separation. And I just pause for a while. I'm like, well, it was a nice walk, Dad. It was a nice walk. I think that's what happens when you get older. You just, like – also, if you watch any documentary on UFOs, there's always a part where the UFOologist breaks down and starts crying.
What?
And yeah, like there's this one,
like the lawyer in Wild Wild Country.
I've only seen the first two of those. I got to finish it.
Oh, it's good.
But no, this was like, This was like, he just goes, they keep this information from us. And you know it's about... You know, it's about his relationship failing. It's not about, it's about some other shit. Like, I didn't make it as a musician.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm channeling it through the fact that I can't get the government believe that UFOs are real. Because I do think, like, almost every conspiracy theory documentary that's true, the people that are interviewed are really boring.
Right.
Like the one on TWA. But the people that are all interviewed are all, like, engineers. And they're like, yeah, this is probably what happened. And they're all really boring. And they're like, kind of stoic looking, but like whenever the guy is like crying within the first 2 minutes, I'm like, this probably is bullshit.
Yeah. I do this think is not UFOs about this. Are real. Yeah. So your dad took you to a site and it wasn't anything.
No, I stepped in mud and then we looked around.
Did he just go, oh, well, never mind.
Well, oh, and then we saw another plaque. So we walked to that and then the other plaque said Massachusetts too. So we just like walked to an area in Massachusetts that's a, I mean, it was a really pretty bridge, but it just like, you know, and then we went to go see the Black Klansman, but it was the most like useless dad trip. I mean, it's beautiful up there. It's like right near Great Barrington. Like we're going to go there, you know, we're going to go there soon just for a weekend to hang out just because it's, you know, the tempo up there is so much slower compared to,
oh yeah,
compared to here, you know, like you like. Like come out. I'm trying to write a bit about it, but this has happened yesterday, where I was like, I had like a couple things happen where I was leaving. I went to go do Jared Fried's podcast, and I got up and I was behind. I was walking behind this guy who had just a full samurai sword.
What?
In his back, and I was like, I looked at him and like 6 months ago, I'd be like, officer, this guy has a samurai sword, but now I'm just like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you may need that
at some point. And then we passed a bagpiper. Like playing like the saddest Irish wake music, and I'm like, you like that's too much life. I can't be with like a ninja and you know like a Frank McCourt novel in the same commute. Like those should be a month apart. But New York is just like blah blah blah.
Yeah, they throw a bunch of shit.
It's just too much. It's too much life.
Yeah,
this city is too much.
Well, dude, when I got off the bus from Boston at 3:30 in the morning. There's a Haitian woman. I mean, it is storming. Monsoon. Yeah. Insane storm.
Right.
And there's a Haitian woman with a rolling suitcase run walking down the street going, you faggot! You faggot! You suck dick for drug! You faggot! Just over and over. Everyone's just like,
where did the
what?
You suck dick for drug thing? And why are you rolling? Why wouldn't you sell the rolling backpack first? That would be the first move before I sucked a dick. See what I can get for the rolly back.
You faggot! You suck dick for drug! You faggot! Well, even over and over.
Even here, you know, like I live near Stuytown, and it's like, Stuytown's really nice, but then like right across the street, you're literally like stepping over like veterans on fucking methadone to get to a CVS. And you're like, Al Jackson had a great rant about that on the, not a rant, but a great point on that on a morning show that he did, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But like New York is just, it's just too much. It's just extreme wealth, extreme poverty, every single type. It's too, it's like the American dream that didn't work. Like, it's like, let's just put everything together and mix it up and see what happens.
Too much of a melting pot.
Well, it didn't melt. It's like that Nate Bargatze joke. There's just different pots. It'd be one thing if there was like, you know, like on The Walking Dead when they create that farm together and it's a bunch of different races and they're all working together and shit. That's not New York.
No,
that's not at all. Everyone in New York is like their own, like they're living in their own fucking movie.
Yeah. And they don't. And it's just them reluctantly.
We need, but that's true. We need like a zombie apocalypse or something to bring people together.
Dude, well, it was so funny to me that this woman, literally everyone is getting off the bus and people are just watching and they're laughing. And someone goes, New York, because the woman was like, faggot, dude, you suck dick for drug, you faggot. But I was like, if that was just
you
like
fight it, right?
A white,
you said you fight it?
No, you faggot.
Oh,
you
Jesus.
Faggot.
I had a whole different understanding.
No.
First off, I do not use that word anymore, Ian.
And shut up, Dan.
And second off, I thought she said you fight it. You
no,
fight it, you
no,
suck
no,
dick for drug.
No.
That's what I thought you were saying.
No,
which
she
is
was
way
chasing
funnier.
A man.
For me, it's
she
like,
was chasing a white guy.
Oh, okay.
Down the street, and then he like left,
more,
and she was going back and forth.
What I was saying is like you fight it, you suck dick for drugs. Like I thought you meant she was like withdrawing from something. So she was like running to addict to something.
That was like her last resort.
Yeah, and I thought that that's what it was.
No. She was yelling at a man for being a faggot for sucking drugs.
I guess you could say,
because
you're bisexual, you're allowed to say that word.
You're allowed to say it.
I'm not allowed to say it. I did in my older act. I did. I don't think I'm allowed to say it anymore.
Well,
you know, I mean, back then we used it as it was a different connotation.
But the funny
part is, now I'm like, you know, now it's like, once I had a gay sponsor, I'm like, I don't think I'd be comfortable saying it around him, and I know it would upset him. So,
but sometimes it's really just such a fun word to say.
There's a lot, you know, like, look, there's any word that you're not allowed to say is fun to say.
Yeah. At like the time, if you're like ornery about it.
It's like when you're on the elevator and you see that like
button to hit the ding.
Like, yeah. And you're like, oh, what if I did it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not out of like, it's more out of curiosity. It's not out of like hatred.
Right.
But it's still, you still gotta, not, but it's also,
well, you gotta watch it. But I think as long as you come from a place that's not full of hatred, you're fine.
I always have that thing of like, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you're like, what if I just spit in this person's face right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody I didn't know that well. And you're like, what would happen?
Yeah.
It would be so crazy.
Like, what if I punch this old guy in the face?
Yeah, I don't get that far.
Well, you know.
I just like invited you into a shit talking window and I like, yeah, and then I shut the door and I burn the house down. But no, I have that. I'm always like, and I think that that's just like normal thought where you're like, what could I do? Like, what if I just dropped my pants and took a shit right now in the middle of the CBS? Like, what were the repercussions and consequences of this bitch?
You can't control what goes into your head. You can't control your thoughts. And to get in trouble for just things you think it's a dangerous place. That's why Twitter sucks, because everyone just types whatever falls out of their dumb fucking head.
Yeah.
And we're not supposed to know every single fucking thought.
No, you're not.
When I see people with like 42,000 tweets, I'm like, oh, you're mentally ill.
Yeah.
That's not.
Also, my tweets have been so fucking boring the last like 2 years. It's all promotion.
Oh, yeah.
It's all promotion. There's no more jokes anymore.
Yeah.
Because of my brain power, I've been writing on so much other shit that I don't have. Like Jess Dweck, who I wrote with on the break, is an incredible writer, is like a machine, and she can do fucking Twitter and still write great jokes for. I'm not as smart as her. I'm not as funny as her. I can't do both. Like, and I used to say political stuff too, and I don't really do that as much. Mm-hmm. It literally is just like, watch my set, watch this person's set, go to this show.
Yeah, it's too much.
I'm just saying how long our walk is to Bobby's. You can keep recording.
Oh, probably. What? Where are we?
We're 15th and...
second, basically?
15th and second.
Yeah, probably 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll wrap up in a...
like
in
20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it amazes me that people get upset over tweets when it's really just a rough draft for things you should say out loud.
Well, it's just, we live in a culture now where that's like, oh, this person says this, and then you're like, well, I kind of want to see what they said. And,
yeah.
And then, like, corporations have to pretend that they're pissed off by it because they just don't want to look bad.
Right. Well, it's all pretend.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of it, too. Like, you see something flashy, and you're like... You know, it's like, you're like, oh, I'll just read this. This seems crazy. I'll read this, you know.
Are you looking at your tweets right now? Dan stopped engaging in the conversation.
Right now, just all I'm doing is seeing where my album is on the charts. So that's why I'm here. Promote my album. No Real Winners here.
I'm going to edit that
on
out.
800-pound Gorilla Records.
Where's it at on the charts right now?
Well, it's not great right now, but it was, you know, Friday was number 3.
Mm-hmm.
When I debuted, and now it's gone down.
Where's it now?
It's definitely gone down.
Is it at what, 60?
No, I don't know if it's down that much. I'm checking out right now. But yeah, I was behind Joe Firestone and
Jim Gaffigan.
Where are they at now? Oh, Jim Gaffigan's always up there. He's always at number 1. I am.
Here we go.
51.
Woo!
Man, it is. I am going down the charts. Hey,
all right.
Hopefully, these podcasts. Well, this one won't. But this hopefully.
I can't wait until you move to 50 after this. After this one.
I go down one. I'm at 52.
Give you that old finance bump.
Yeah, I went from 3 to 52, and matter of 5 days.
My mom just buys the album multiple times. Yeah, yeah.
Keep talking. I'm going to change my vape out.
Oh, all right. Well, Dan's changing his vape out. He's really become disengaged from the conversation. He's now getting up, walking around his apartment, going to the... He's laying in bed to take a nap. That's a strange choice. Just going and laying down. I just start just... Completely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Checking out. The interview was better when he talked in his sleep, actually. One time I talked.
I'm back, baby.
One time I talked in my sleep, and my ex-girlfriend said that she woke up to me going, "Rice Priebus, Rice Priebus."
I told you what my chick said this to me last week, which is the scariest fucking thing because I get nightmares, and I woke up from a nightmare, and my girlfriend turns to me, and I think this is verbatim what she did. She goes, "Shh. She wants us to be quiet." No. I swear to God.
No. What a fucking nightmare haunted house your brain must be.
Oh, all the time.
For you to have that, and then when you were younger, you kicked your parents' door down and said, what?
Get out of the room! Oh, the road!
How old were you?
I was like 9.
9? Were you a little fat kid?
Oh, yeah. I'm still a little fat kid. I love you saying this when, like,
what?
You used to fucking print out Korn lyrics and have them in a binder in your house.
I did. It was in a Michael
you
Jordan
make me feel stable
folder. I hear that a lot. I feel like that's my
who
purpose.
You're definitely crazier than me.
No.
Really?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
A little.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But it's getting better.
Yeah, you are. You definitely. Yeah. You seem great today.
Yeah, yeah, I feel great today. I'm telling you, man, it was that medication I was on. Totally fucked me.
Well, Motrin is the way to go, baby.
Oh, dude, it really, really, really turned me around. And it's so funny because my doctor told me she told me the Abilify is really going to help you. It's gonna keep you up, and your downs are gonna be. And I looked up the side effect. Every single fucking side effect that I was supposed to not have, I got. Like, I was losing my balance. I was sleepwalking. I was full of anxiety.
Problem too is, like, you look like such a cartoon character when you fall. Everybody's like, ah, this is funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You like have a bandana and jorts and a fucking mustache, and people are like, "Look at the clown fall."
I'm just shooting heroin. It's such a funny way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I first got into AA, I uglified myself so that I wouldn't be around women. I got, like, really huge glasses because I was like...
Uglified yourself? How much work was there needed to be done?
It was a lot.
Did it stop again?
No.
Ian's looking at his soundboard and he... I don't think this podcast is going to come out. That's my...
It's going to come out.
If it comes out, it'll be a fucking miracle.
I'm putting it out tonight. I promise.
If it comes out, it'll be a miracle. I can't wait to screenshot you when I'm in the 60s, too, right after you release it. And I'm like 67.
They take your album off the market.
They take my album off the market. I'm putting a hole with Alex Jones.
Oh, man. Have you seen the Bon Iver Alex Jones compilation?
No.
Where they take actual quotes of his and play it in a Bon Iver song.
Is it cool?
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I gotta see it.
Can we pop it up on your computer right now?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if will the audio come through?
Yeah,
on the
audio. I'll put my microphone up to the thing.
All right.
You gotta watch it. It is so good. It is so funny. I one time went to a girl's hotel room and we watched this together and I didn't put a move on her. And then I gave her a back massage, and we slept next to each other as friends.
That sounds about right. Bon Iver, Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Niver, Alex.
There it is. First one.
There we go.
All right. Volume.
As I said, Alex.
Paradigm of absolute control. That's why we're just out here doing simple things.
Yeah, that's as high as it goes, unfortunately.
Transcend the new world order. That's why they want to try to keep us out of it.
Babies Oh, that's awesome. Oh man, we gotta stop playing it though.
Because
that's great. I mean, I just don't know if it's you realize how crazy Alex Jones is. And then it's him calling out of the water.
Yeah. He is a fucking...
What a piece of trash.
Truth teller.
Yeah.
I think he tells the truth. That's why they took him off air.
Yeah, that's why they took him off air. Shout out to the fucking Sandy Hook parents.
Yeah.
It's relaxing. Bonnieville relaxes you even when...
It's Alex Jones.
Yeah, even when it's vitriolic hate speech. Underneath it. Oh, the world is a fucking medical waste fire.
Beautiful place. I think, the internet trains us to think everything is evil, and then you go out into the world, and you're like, it's not really that bad.
Just as you were saying this, a CNN Fletcher happened that was like 3,000 priests accused of child abuse.
Yeah, but I feel like on a base level... You go out and you talk to people, and people are just trying to survive and enjoy themselves. And then the internet just gives you every single bad thing that's happened, because that's the only way to sell and make money. Because if you feel like everything's all right, you're not going to be constantly living in fear. And
yeah.
Why? What's happening on CNN?
Catholic priests are molesting people.
Yeah, but that's always been the case.
What else is going on? The Omarosa tapes. I love how they're making Omarosa. I mean, it's just such it's just so insane.
Well, her book is coming out. So obviously all this stuff's going to come out now, so she'll sell her book.
No, it's only 300 priests. That was greatly exaggerating then.
Yeah, see, still things not aren't great. That bad.
Still not great.
Dude, after my dad died, my mom tried to get me, like, to be around male influences.
Yeah.
And I went to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
And she used to drop me off. Instead of priests, we had brothers. And the Brothers of the Holy Cross. And she would leave me in their house just for hours and hours for me to hang out with all these brothers.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, I don't think I got molested.
Yeah, well.
But I lucked out.
They were nice guys?
Yeah, they were nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, they used to come over for dinner. One of them had me be like a helper on the baseball team.
That's good. Nice,
yeah.
It's kind of a heartwarming story.
Yeah. See, not all priests and men of the cloth are bad. I was also criminally ugly. So.
You were wearing the glasses.
I was wearing the glasses.
You looked exactly like you did now, but with braces.
Huge rabbit teeth. Very annoying. They stopped hanging out with me because I annoyed them too much. And I was only
that's fucking hilarious.
I was only
that's what
two
got you out of being molested.
It's being
you're
annoying.
Only allowed. I need to fucking start call these priests up, see how to deal with you. You were only allowed two questions a day.
Yeah,
they had the same conversation that you did about the megabus. They're like, guys, my mom won't let me into the house. And they're like, are there other moms?
Just use another mom. Leave me alone. I'm masturbating. Ah, shit. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Do you have anything to plug?
How long has this podcast been?
39 minutes.
All right. Well, that's good enough.
Do you have anything to plug?
Yes. Ian,
okay. That's been, that's been our time, folks.
Oh, the old podcast gag.
Woo!
The old Ian Finance.
Got him.
Rickety splickities. I don't know what that meant. I have a new album on 800-pound Gorilla Records called No Real Winners Here. You can get it on most streaming services, but it would really help me if you could buy the album if you don't have a streaming service. But if you can't, you know, listen to it. What I'm doing spots around the city, watch old episodes of The Break on Netflix. I'm on this month, I'm co-hosting the Ringer podcast, the Mass Man podcast on the Ringer. I also have a lot of old podcasts on the All Things Comedy Network. It's a great network. One of which is about wrestling, Total F and Marks. Some of those are evergreen episodes, so you can listen to them without having an up-to-date knowledge of the product. And, yeah, that's about it. My gut is hanging out in that picture. Can we do one more where my gut is hanging out? No,
only the gut.
Let me see.
I just took a picture of Dan laying on his couch, and we're going to call that picture Guts Aplenty.
Let me see. Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's great.
Here, let's do one without the gut.
All right, all right. One without the gut, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a staged photo. Ready?
Wait, don't look yet.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right, that's it. You can Thank post you. That one. That's great. Thank Thanks. You for doing this, Dan. This is All fun. Right.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, folks. Well, there you have it. Another episode. What'd you think? It was a good one, huh? Well, I always think they're good ones. I enjoyed talking to my buddy Dan. It was a fun talk, even though half of it got deleted because of the equipment. But what can you do? It was fun going back and forth just to have a real relaxed time with an old pal. And I apologize for not having the episode out last week. Again, it didn't upload, and as you can tell, there were some recording difficulties. But I'm releasing this today, Tuesday, and I will have another one out for you Sunday, Monday. And things will be back to business as usual over here at Fort Fidance. That's what I call my apartment, Fort Fidance. That's right. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in and saying hi and writing me messages. I really appreciate it. A lot of people really enjoyed that episode from the woods, and you know, it was a real fun time. I'm going to go back, going to meet up with my buddy Wes is coming. Maybe I'll have him back on the pod, but I'm going to be back there in the fall, and I'm excited. IanFidance.com for all my dates, and I'd love for you all to come out and see me, say hi, say hello. I got some fun stuff in the city, and I'm going to be getting back out on the road come fall, so that'll be fun. Look forward to, and hope you appreciate yourselves. I appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hug some, me love, and enjoy every sandwich. Bye-bye.